Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deal in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program, my cool guest. My guest today is Kazuhiro Sakurai, the fourth generation and CEO of Asahi Shuzo, which is the maker of Dasai Sake. Dasai is the biggest export brand of Japanese sake. And Kazuhiro joined us in episode 233 in July 2021 and shared the unique sake making philosophy of the company, as well as why Dasai became so popular globally. And in September 2023, Asahi Shuzo opened its first overseas brewery, Dasai Brew, in upstate New York. But it is not another brewery producing the same sake is in Japan to save costs. Dasai Brew aims to exceed its parent brewery in Japan. So today we'll discuss why the company decided to open the brewery in New York, what Dasai Brew's goal is, the special ingredients Dasai Brew uses to express the local terroir of New York, its collaboration with the Culinary Institute of America, and much, much more. But before we start, Japanese is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japanese. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Kazuhiro Sakurai. Hello, Kazuhiro-san. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Akiko-san. Thank you for this opportunity.
Hey, so yeah, I know you're so busy. You're visiting now here in North America, and you're busy flying and in New York and moving to Canada and all those busy schedules. I really appreciate your time today. So I usually ask my favorite question, where you're from and what did you eat when you grew up, but you said everything in episode 233. So could you tell us about your company, Asahi Shuzo, for listeners who are not familiar with it? And so specifically, what is the history of Asahi Shuzo, and what are you proud of about your company?
Okay. My brewery, Asahi Shuzo, is located at the Yamaguchi Prefecture. It's a western part of Honshu area, and 1.5 hours by airplane from Tokyo. And our brewery itself has more than 300 years history. But its highlight is concentrated in these 30 to 35 years, because my father, Hiroshi Sakurai, the third generation owner of the brewery, creates a brand of Dasai. As a result, we changed to sake brewery that uses only Yamada Nishiki sake rice as raw material and produce only Junmai Gai Ginjo. I think it's very unique point of our brewery.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you said really quickly, but the transformation your father made to the company's philosophy is just so unheard of. And famously, you started the first company who started to make sake without Toji, the brewmaster. And you combine the knowledge of tradition, and also you have full usage of technology and science. So it's really a beautifully balanced, streamlined operation. And that's why you can maintain such a high quality of sake. And hence, you are the biggest exporter of sake from Japan. I'm curious, what was the percentage of export value last year from Japan to abroad compared to the whole sake export of Japanese production?
Yes, in the whole Japanese sake market, export market, our sake is around 16 to 17%.
That's amazing. Because there are about 1,000 sake operating sake breweries, and you're just one company, and they have 16 to 17% of export value, which is just amazing. So congratulations. So you just mentioned the special success comes from your production philosophy. So you have focused sake, which is Junmai Ginjo, and you only use Yamada Nishiki. Maybe you can elaborate how special these mean.
Yes. Actually, most of brewery make many different use many different types of sake rice to make many different types of sake. But we concentrate to the only one type, Yamada Nishiki and Junmai Daiginjo. And the reason why we choose the Junmai Daiginjo and Yamada Nishiki is we really love the very clear, clean taste, and at the same time, very fruity floral aroma. So to do that, we have to remove the outside of rice and use center core part of rice. We call it shinpaku. And this is starch inside core of sake rice contains starch. And it is the outside contains fat and mineral, and so outside is good for eating, but not good for the aroma of sake. So we have to remove the outside of rice. And Yamada Nishiki rice is a very soft and big rice, so easy to remove the outside. So it's very good matching with Junmai Daiginjo sake.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also people call Yamada Nishiki the king of sake rice, but it's very difficult to grow, right? Because it gets taller, and to have a healthy crops, it's very hard. You have to be very careful growing the rice. So yeah, so the purity and also the quality of ingredients, that's Dasai flagship style. So, and also your company is known for its highly innovative mindset. So, how do you describe the innovation and also how traditional now you are at the same time?
Yes, actually, our philosophy, our policy is to aim for the best sake and then to make that sake better than yesterday. So to achieve this, we put a lot of human effort into it. Actually, we are using more than 200 people for sake making. I think it's the number one biggest sake brewery for the number of brewing staff. So they have to do the very careful handmade work for making sake. And at the same time, we use the latest technology and some data. So as you talk, we don't use Toji because Toji is a very good experienced craftsman. But it's difficult to them to do the new things. So to make better and to change sake making, it is difficult to use the toji.
Right, because it's like sushi master or something. Everybody has its own techniques that was accumulated over time. And the people who follows that toji's technique, you can't step into his own kind of realm of that skills and knowledge. So, yeah, to break, to advance the tradition, there's always a challenge between the balance of the what to be changed and what to be kept. So I think you streamlined that and you eliminated that frustration. So, yeah, so, and also you have 200 people. That means that you have very labor intensive parts of your business, which means that you have to smell the rice and how you check the fermentation by hand, right, with five senses or maybe six senses. So that's amazing that how your father decided to switch to no toji, a brewmaster style of making, but also you have to maintain that tradition. So it sounds like a very difficult task you and your father does. And do you work closely with your father?
Yes. Yeah, we work very closely. We are the family business, and yeah, of course we work closely and every time communicate with each other because we want to change every time. So to do that, the communication is very important. And when we have a conversation, we can find a new way or we can change something. So our communication is very closely.
Right. To me, looking at you together, it's almost like you're, I don't know, even like brothers, just discussing the new business. This is a very active communication. And that's why Dasai stayed strong and very rejuvenated all the time. So just to show, to understand Dasai's pioneering mindset we've been talking about, maybe you can talk about the Dasai 23 Hayata, which is a new product and impressively innovative. So what is special about Dasai 23 Hayata and how the advanced technology enhances the tradition in its production? Because it includes a very traditional history as well in nature.
Yes, Dasai 23 Hayata is a sake which infused with micro carbon dioxide bubbles. Even after sake is squeezed, the yeast still lives in sake, and it affects the taste and aroma. So in order to reduce these changes, heat is generally needed to stop the fermentation process. But if we heating up sake, aroma and flavor is easy to change. But this Hayata, the micro carbon dioxide bubbles reduce the movement of the yeast. And so we don't need to heat up long time. It's a heating up very short time, so it makes the flavor and aroma of sake fresh and very fruity.
Right. Well, according to what I read from your website, so there's an old technique called the nizake, which means that you heat up the sake during the production, and as a result, Japanese sake became one of the world's rarest preservative-free alcoholic beverages because it kills bacteria to really ruin the sake. But at the same time, heating up means you could lose the flavors and taste. But then your company developed the idea to use that, new technology really changed that damage to the sake to minimize it. So the microbubbles, carbon dioxide is the key, not to ruin it, but you don't have any bacteria and you don't have to use any preservatives. So that means it's really pure flavor. And then when I tasted it first time, it was really clean, impressively deep flavored sake. So yeah, I was very impressed with this Dasai 23 Hayata. Right. So, and it's available here too, right? It's exported from Japan.
Yes. We just started selling this Hayata at the New York market.
Okay. So listeners, if you're interested, I highly recommend that. It's a really great sake. So Dasai 23 Hayata. And so it's it also developed with a very passionate professor of a university, right, in Japan who...
The professor's name is Hayata. So Professor Hayata collaborated with us to make this technology. So that's why the name of sake is Hayata.
Mm. Right. He unfortunately passed away, but it's a legacy, and it was very successful development and discovery.
Yes.
Right. Okay. We'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll discuss the site's new brewery in New York. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view the exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Akiko Tema. My guest today is Kazuhiro Sakurai, the fourth generation of, and CEO of Asahi Shuzo, which is a maker of Dasai Sake. Okay, so let's talk about your Dasai brewery in New York. It's called Dasai Blue. So you opened Dasai Blue in upstate New York in September 2023, last year. So first of all, why did you decide to open a sake brewery in the U.S.?
Firstly, CIA, Culinary Institute, proposed us to make sake brewery nearby them. And the location, New York, was important for us because New York is a melting pot of race. And within that melting pot, various cultures from different countries come together, and new cultures are born as a result of their encounters. So that's why we want to create a new food culture in here, New York.
Mm, right. And for listeners who are not familiar with the Culinary Institute of America, it's called the Harvard of Culinary Education. And it's really amazing. Great chefs, graduates, really numerous, countless new great chefs from that institute, also called CIA, not the spies. But yeah, and also I think the creative mindset of New York, and also New York has the best water also. Right? And if by educating the students about sake at CIA, it means that the most effective spread of knowledge about tradition of sake, how great sake is. So yeah, when I first heard that you opened a brewery in collaboration with the CIA, I was really excited because, you know, the sake industry in Japan, unfortunately, has been declining quickly, not because sake is bad, but also, but it's only the market competition, and also it's hard to find workers for traditional industry. So it's really a good news for, I think, the whole sake industry that you opened Dasai Blue. So what is the theme and or goal of Dasai Blue? Is any difference in your sake making philosophy between Dasai in Japan and Dasai Blue?
Yes, I think there is no difference in philosophy. Just as Dasai in Japan aims to produce the best sake in a Japanese environment, and Dasai Blue aims to produce the best sake in a New York environment. So we both aim the best sake at their own place.
Mm. Right. Okay. And why did you name your American brewery Dasai Blue?
Yes. The name Blue comes from a Japanese proverb. Blue comes from indigo plant, and it's bluer than indigo. This proverb means that the children surpass the parent, or the pupils surpass the master. Actually, Dasai Blue and our sake in New York is children of Japanese Dasai. But Dasai Blue wants to aim the better sake than Japan. Mm. So we pursue the best sake and surpass the Japanese Dasai.
Mm. Right, that we represent.
Of course, Dasai in Japan wants to make a best sake and better sake than Dasai Blue, of course.
Right, so it's kind of like a created a springboard, even go further by creating Dasai Blue. And it's very ambitious, but it's very symbolic of Asahi Shuzo spirit. But it's always keep better, becoming better than anything else we've been doing before. So yeah, that's amazing. What types of sake do you make at Dasai Blue currently?
It's similar to the lineup in Japan. It's our type is it depends on the it comes from the rice polish ratio. Then now we have Dasai 23 type 23 Dasai Blue type 23. It means the polish down to 23%. So we move the 77% outside and use only 23% of rice. And we also have type 50. It means 50% polish ratio. And we also, now we are brewing the type 35. That means size 35 polish rice. So it's similar to Japanese Dasai, but really different from Japanese Dasai, because the Dasai in Japan is a rice polish ratio is 23 and 39 and 45. But in United States, we produce 23 and 35 and 50.
Mm. Well, it sounds like you never know. You might come up with something new here too. So for now, these are the three polishing ratio. And so the lower the number is, it's more polished, that means more purified, but it doesn't mean that it's the lower the better the number is. It means that different kind of styles, you can have different kind of flavors. And I think you made the alcohol level slightly lower than in Japan?
Yes, exactly. The Dasai in Japan is 15 to 16% alcohol. And this Dasai Blue is around 14% because we want to expand to the like a wine and champagne farm. So, but the for example, the wine alcohol percent of wine is around 13-14%. So for the wine and champagne people, 16%, 15-16% is really higher than they expect. So that's why we want to make the really lower alcohol than Japanese Dasai.
Right. And Dasai is also known for collaborating with non-Japanese chefs, including the late Joe Robuchon. And you have a place in Paris called Dasai Joe Robuchon, which you opened in 2018. So it's not just an idea that you try to pair sake with Western non-Japanese food. That really makes sense that you set the alcohol level closer to wine because you can easily try to pair with non-Japanese food at home even. So that totally makes sense. So where do you get ingredients from the Dasai brewed sake?
Yeah, of course, water is come from the New York area, very nearby our brewery in New York. And the rice is come from Japan and United States both. Majority of rice is now come from Japan. But now we are collaborating with one farmers in Arkansas State, and the name Chris Isabel Farm, and they cultivate Yamaganishiki rice for us. And from this year, we start to use this Arkansas rice to our sake.
Mm. Right. So actually, the Isabel Farms in Arkansas, their owner family, Mark and Chris Isabels of the family, joined us on episode 244 in November 2021 and shared their fascinating story about how Chris got into making Japanese rice and now sake rice, including Yamada Nishiki that you use. And, I think the conversation with Mark and Chris Isabels really reminded me of you and your father's conversations. It's very innovative, just curious. It's almost like, child being curious about what to do, what you can do. So your two families have the same kind of mindset and excitement about creating new things. So that makes sense that you work with the Isabel Farms. And also, I think they are keep developing new sake rice, right? They started from other Koshihikari, I think, and then eventually they use Yamada Nishiki, Omachi, Wataribune, and Gohyaku Mangoku. These are really amazing, important sake rice. So, so do you think you're going to expand the use of American sake rice from now on to replace?
Yes. I hope to, in the future, I'd like to use the Yamada Nishiki in United States and replace all of sake rice from Japanese to American one. But right now, it's still the quality is have a room for improvement. So right now, we don't want to decide to replace all of the sake rice in Japan to United States. But in the future, I hope to replace the majority of sake rice to United States.
Mm, right, so that your intention probably motivates Isabel Farms and other sake producers in this country. So by itself, your existence in America, I think, is very encouraging for sake farmers, sake rice farmers, and basically inspiration of quality sake rice, I think. So who are your staff members at Dasai Blue? Did you bring your team members from Japan, or did you hire train local people?
It's both. Now we have the three people from Japan, and they are one of the best staff, best members from our brewery. I choose the best members I could find in the brewery. And actually, this three member is when I asked them to ask our brewery master in Japan to take them to United States. And he don't want to do that because yeah, it's a problem for our sake brewery in Japan. And also, my father, Hiroshi Sakurai, is coming to New York. And every time he's in the brewery right now, it's a kind of dream team, I think. And in addition to these three members, we hired six local staff members in New York local area. They don't have experience in sake brewing, but they are now learning hard from the member from Japan.
So I think you are raising a future talent of sake making, taught by the best brewers from Japan, from Dasai brand, which is the best of the world. So right, it's amazing that you are really nurturing the future sake making talents. And also I heard you are very conscious about environmental issues, and I heard that your water treatment facility costs you $6.7 million not to affect the Hudson Valley environment. So you're definitely contributing to local economy and also not damaging anything in the environment. So that's amazing.
Yes. Actually, our brewery is in Yamaguchi Prefecture, and we really love the place in Yamaguchi because it's our hometown. And at the same time, right now, New York and Hyde Park area is our hometown. So it's important for us to not affect to the environment. So, yeah, of course, it costs $6.7 million is a big cost for us. But I think it's important for the environment in New York.
Right, because it's your home now.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So, well, that's the thing that you didn't come here to produce sake to save the cost. As I mentioned earlier, you want to be a part of sake production community, and which never happened in this country yet. So this is exciting because there's so many other sake breweries started to be more active, and they've been making better quality sake for the last decades and two decades. So you joined this whole community of sake production in America, and it's inspiring. And you're, like I said earlier, you're nurturing the talent to make great sake. So you opened the Dasai Brew, for your business, for your excitement, for your all those dreams. But I think you're doing something very influential to the whole sake community in America. So this is very exciting, I think, for many of us.
Yes, thank you. It's similar to the situation of Japanese restaurant. Because right now, some of Japanese restaurant in New York is owned by American people. And I think it's a new culture and new style of food is sometimes come from the restaurant food, which owned by American people. And like in New York, there is some omakase and very authentic restaurant and come from Japan. So both restaurants are important for making culture. So right now, the sake market in sake industry, and there is a sake owned by American people. And from now, we are the sake brewery come from Japan, and like a Japanese style. So it's important for making a better culture of making sake.
Interesting. And also, I think those omakase-driven restaurants, Japanese restaurants, customers, I heard mostly non-Japanese people. So it's locally enjoyed. It's a part of this American culture. And you're doing, it's the sake is becoming hopefully part of American beverage culture. So,
yes.
Right. So what are the biggest challenges in producing sake in New York?
Of course, there are many difficulties, but the main one is that the water is different. Of course, and to make sake, water is very important. And the water in New York is harder than Japan, with more minerals. And hard water means that the yeast is more active and the fermentation speed is faster than Japan, than soft water. And too fast fermentation speed makes the sake taste rougher. So we need to control the yeast. We need to take care more and more than Japan.
Mm. Right. So that means they have to control the temperature maybe lower or something to keep the activities of bacteria, the yeast a little quieter and make a slow fermentation possible.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So on the other hand, so what is the exciting and fun part of making sake in New York?
As I told you, we are aiming to make the best sake in totally different environment from Japan. So it means there's many challenges and many difficulty and many failures and many mistakes. And it makes it's a good for us to make a know-how, because when we make in the same environment, there is no change. But the environment in New York is so different from Japanese one. So it's very interesting for us and it's exciting. And at the same time, now we just start to selling our sake in many non-Japanese restaurants. So now it's exciting for us to make a new market and new culture.
Mm, right. Well, it's I see, for example, Brooklyn Crowd Sake, which is a local New York first brewery. I started to see their sake in many non-Japanese restaurants. I think it's a local sake, local beverage. You can try it
yes.
more easily. So, yeah, that's great. I hope to see Dasai Blue brand and many, many other places, like a pizza place too. Who knows? We discussed the CIA, Canadian Children of America, and collaboration with you. So what programs are you going to offer to them? Or are you already offering some kind of programs to CIA students?
Yes. Now they are holding a sake class right now, Japanese sake class. And we are supervising that class. And now we are also collaborating with them on many other events and seminars for the guests of CIA.
Mm. Right. So that means that the CIA students get more knowledge of sake, and if they decide to become a chef, they can think of pairing sake with the non-Japanese food, and also the sommelier candidates there too, so they have deep understanding of Japanese sake, right?
Yes, yes.
Right, that's very hopeful. So when can we taste Dasai Blue?
For example, in Manhattan, you can drink our sake Dasai Blue at high-end Japanese restaurants like Sakagura or Sushizo and many restaurants. And you can purchase our Dasai Blue at some liquor store, like Union Square Line, Asa Line, or Sakaya.
Right. And actually, on your website, dasai.com, there's a where to buy list, which is getting longer and longer every time I see it. So that's exciting. And and also, also we can visit the Dasai Brewery too, right? So how can we do that?
Yes, you can book the reservation from our website. Yeah, if you make a reservation for our tour, we can guide the tour, and at the same time, you can enjoy our sake tasting, Dasai tasting at the brewery.
That's very fun. So, okay, so that's the Dasai.com. And if you go to Dasai, that's the Dasai Blue America space. It's www.dasai.com, D-A-S-S-A-I.com. And you can find, listeners, you can find how to book the tour. And it's fun. And okay, so what are your plans and dreams for Dasai Blue?
Yes. Our dream of Dasai Blue is to expand the non-Japanese market. So right now, of course, the pairing with Japanese restaurant, Japanese food, and Dasai is, of course, very good matching, and it's important for us. But at the same time, we have to go to next area, next stage. Right now, you can enjoy wine or beer at many places. Even also in Japanese restaurant, you can enjoy wine and champagne and whiskey. But in the non-Japanese restaurant, some of non-Japanese restaurants carry sake, but it's still not the majority. So we want to make a new culture, and which is a non-Japanese restaurant and sake.
Right. And I mean, if you try to pair sake with something non-Japanese, it's really easy. And sometimes white wine's acidity and red wine's tannins are very difficult, even with Western food. So sake is very forgiving, and I hope that,
yes.
Right? So Dasai Blue's taste is based on New York water and then American sake and also Japanese high-quality sake combined. It's an interesting thing to try for listeners, and I'm just curious how they think. The sake exports data just came up for 2023, and it's been a good year for sake industry, but the number dropped to 87% by value and 81% by quantity between 2023 and 2022. So, and the reasons sounds very various, and possibly the diminished Chinese economy, which is always a big importer, and also high inflation. So what do you think the sake industry can do to keep Japanese sake popular and preserve its precious tradition for the future?
Yes. To expand, I think for sake industry, it is important to expand to market around the world. So most of sake brewery is still watch the mostly Japanese market, but we have to see the outside of Japan and go to many countries and meet and compete with different alcohol like wine, champagne, and whiskey, beer, all over the world. And it makes the brand and quality of sake better and better. I think it's It's like an Olympic game. So if we fight with other countries' player, it makes us more strong. So I think it's important to, for sake market. And now the Japanese people in Japan, the people is the average year is becoming very old, and the shrinking the number of the people. So I think the to go to overseas is also important.
Right. So, and also once some things enjoyed outside of Japan, Japanese people will realize, oh, this is a cool thing. We didn't realize we had such a cool product. So that happened before.
Yes. Right? Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And also that inspiration of the overseas production, like you do, I really found your Dasai Blue 50 very approachable, fruity. And that style of sake is really versatile to pair with anything. So I think the Japanese sake industry is going to stay strong, maintain its tradition, but also it can be kind of evolve to survive in this competitive global market. So, yeah, it really, to me, Dasai Blue is such a turning point for American sake industry because you inspire other players and also the idea of local traditional, valuable Japanese sake, I think it's going to be solidified as a good image. So, yeah, good luck. And so where can we find your updates online and on social media?
Yes, we have Instagram and Facebook page. So you can find the page with the name Dasai Blue.
Okay. Right, and also you have Instagram, Dasai Sake, Dasai Sake, Sake, one word. So, and also, listeners, if you're interested in checking out an English page of Japanese Asahi Shizuo's company, Dasai Brand's whole website, that's very cool. You can see the Dasai 23 Hayata information as well. That's Asahi Shizuo.ne.jp. And it's A-S-A-H-I-S-H-U, Shuzo, that's S-H-U-Z-O, sorry. So asahishuzo.ne.jp, so asahishuzo.com. If you just look up Asahi Shuzo, you can find the page. Anyway, so, well, thank you so much for joining us today again, Sakurai-san. And, well, please keep me posted, and hopefully you can come back and give us updates. And it's going to be very interesting to see how you're going to succeed in this market.
Yeah, it's also interesting for us. Yeah, thank you very much for this time.
Right. Okay, so listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at Japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or at kikotema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and is always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Engineer is Liam Warner, and thanks for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe. This episode of Japanese was made possible with the support of Dasai. Dasai supports HRN's creative, educational reporting and storytelling that drives conversations to empower, educate, and entertain through food-focused podcasts and world-class education programs.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.